Hey everyone, welcome to this week's sermon podcast of B Church. Here, you can listen to our latest weekly sermons for your spiritual growth. We believe that this message will really bless you.
Amen. This morning I want to speak a bit on getting the right appetite. The right appetite, because we have an appetite in life, and last week we started to touch certain things on hunger. And just speaking on hunger, but God responds to hunger. Amen. God responds, and every decision in our life is actually driven by hunger. Whether you know it or don't know it, but every decision is driven by hunger. And the thing is, are you hungry? And I think all of us can say, actually, yes, we are. But now the second question is just, are you hungry for the right things? Come on. For the right things. Do you have an appetite? That's why I said the right appetite. Having the right appetite. Because we are all hungry, but is your appetite that for the right things where God calls us and for what we need? Because we get actually two types of hunger, the physical hunger and the spiritual hunger. And physical hunger, you don't need any reminder. Your tummy will tell you when you're hungry. Now, that ghrelin, that hunger hormone will speak to you very loud and clear when you haven't eaten, isn't it? And then there's the spiritual kind that launches us in the deeper meaning of purpose and what God calls us. But for the most part, I don't know if you've seen, or maybe you've traveled a bit, especially in America, on every on-ramp and off-ramp, you find so many takeaways. So many, 24/7. Even here, these days, 24/7, you can just have food at your demand. And we don't even allow ourselves sometimes to really get hungry, do we? Sometimes you eat on the clock, not because you're really hungry. You eat because it's time to eat breakfast, or, you know, lunch, or snack time, or midnight snack. Okay? At the slightest sign of discomfort, we eat, isn't it? We eat because we're hungry, and we don't sometimes eat because we truly hunger. We eat because it's time to eat. But is there a hunger in you? So in the physical, yes, we need to eat when we are hungry. And you see, in the physical, you will basically do everything you can to avoid hunger, isn't it? I'm thinking of the two pregnant mommies now. Maybe you desire more. You see, so physically we do whatever possible to satisfy that hunger, isn't it? The moment you start to feel hunger, you make a point of getting something to eat. And sometimes you're not just cheap. Now you make sure you eat good food. You really go and get something that will satisfy you. Because it's not just to eat food sometimes. Sometimes we desire certain things and we're like, oh, I want this now. Now I can die for this, isn't it? We do that. And we make time in our schedules to eat and make sure we nourish. But you know, the more we satisfy the flesh, do you do that in the spirit as well? Do you allow yourself to be satisfied with the right things? Because sometimes what you do, you eat not because you're hungry, you just desire satisfaction. And sometimes in the spirit we want satisfaction and we just eat, but not the right way. Because sometimes you eat when it's time to eat. And a lot of us, we only eat on Sundays because that's our time to eat. Isn't it? If you say yes, you need to work on more of your diet, you know. It's more times than Sunday to eat. Unfortunately, like the physical, when you're satisfied, sometimes in the spirit, we're not hungry. If you just ate, who of you have in your life before? I'm sure we all, you know, because we've all been through Christmas and those places, nah? Family gatherings or birthdays, where you eat so much that you're like, please, I don't want anything else. You had that feeling before, nah? So when you're so satisfied, often you lose your hunger. If we say there's some more, I believe that God has blessed us, that whatever you eat, you always have a second open stomach for pudding. Okay? God has blessed us with that. But if you had so much, you're unable to receive more. You're satisfied. But in the spirit, it works different, because the more you eat, the hungrier you get. The more you desire, the more you can eat. But oftentimes when we filled up, you know, it's the opposite in the physical world. Don't we say that? When you're taking spiritual food, there's a supernatural thing that happens that you desire more. And the hunger that you have opens the door to faith. Faith opens the door to destiny. Because we walk by faith, not by sight. So Matthew 5, 6 says what? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. For hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. And I've said a little bit on this on last Sunday. He doesn't say, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for blessedness. Not for being blessed and all these things and searching rewards for righteousness. He says, you're seeking for righteousness itself. But what is righteousness? We have a plain definition. We say righteousness is right standing with God. Being in the right position with God. But it's not just being good. It's about the change in behavior that God wants to come. But righteousness brings a change in behavior. But that's just a side effect. It's a good side effect. Being made righteous. That's how it begins with God. But there's a process. And I think ultimately, righteousness means to be completely free from sin. Complete freedom from sin. Don't you agree? Because you know that by justification you are made righteous in Christ, but you still know the little things that you do and you don't like. That battle, what Paul says, the things I don't want to do, I just keep on doing. And that what I do, I just don't. I think ultimately,
what a wretched
righteousness means to be completely
free
righteousness,
from
true
sin.
Righteousness is then complete freedom from sin. And if there's a hunger for righteousness, that means that hunger means that there's an intense desire, isn't it? To get out under the influence of that sin. Because sin has an effect. There's, you feel, remember, sin is an entity, it's a thing, it's a nature, but you feel the effect of sin in your life. The sinning. You feel an effect and there's an influence internally and externally in your life that you experience certain things. And how often have you tried your very best to get rid of that sinning instead of the sin nature? But Jesus has dealt with that sin nature. You're trying to get off rid of the effects or the fruit, the sinning. And if you try out of your own effort, what happens? You're going to have a Britney Spears, nay. You're going to say, oops, I did it again. Going to have that moment where you try and try and try. Maybe you have it good for 1 or 2 or 3 weeks or 1 or 2 months. And then suddenly you're back at that place. And you say, how did I get to this place again? Isn't it? Because we've been trying to do it maybe the wrong way. Because righteousness, complete freedom from sin, is to be hungry for the right things. You're trying to maybe out of your own works get rid of the sinning and the fruit, instead of being in a place where you're a new creation. That's why Paul says, there was a man, Adam, and once we are all in Adam, but now you are in Christ. What I'm talking about here is you trying to just live a better version of an old Adam. That's your wrongdoing. Is you want to work on the old Adam to improve that the whole time and getting a better version of the old, where Christ says, you're not an old Adam anymore, you're a new creation. Amen? You are a new creation. You are in Christ. And therefore, He has dealt with the sin nature. You have died with Christ. Your life is hidden in Christ, Colossians 3. And now, you are in Christ. He says, when Christ, who is your life, appear, you appear with Him in glory. So there's something that we're trying to do. But if we're doing it the wrong way, trying to just have the better version of Adam, you're going to always be filled with sorrow, mourning, depression. And what they say, your response to mourning and depression and the reality of the evil and the sin and the suffering in the world, the key to meekness is not conquering your desire. Maybe you've tried to conquer your desire, the hunger for the flesh, the hunger for the world in the wrong way. And he says, it's not to conquer your desire, it's starting to get the right desire for the right things. Does it make sense? You need to get the right desire, the right hunger for the right things. That's what he says. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. The Bible says what? Chronicles, the eyes of the Lord goes to and fro on the earth, seeking a heart that's completely His. There's a hunger for God's presence. What does Hebrews 11 says? That God rewards those who earnestly seek Him. That word seek means those who hunger after Him. He rewards those who hunger after Him. It's very clear that God desires or desires for us to be hungry for kingdom things. There's kingdom things that God wants. We are called to a kingdom, and he says, be hungry for the right things, for the kingdom things. But sometimes we're not. We're satisfied. But if you continually want to be filled, because he says, if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you will be filled. If you continually want to be filled, you need to be continually hungry for the right things. So I want to show you something that's inside of us. This is where, that was just the intro. Now we're getting to the preaching. Let's go. If you have your Bible, Genesis 1 from verse 1. Let's get there. Genesis 1 verse 1. Right, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Amen. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. You need the Spirit of God to move in you and through you. It says the Spirit hovered. So one, you need the Spirit of God to work in your life. But now it says what? And God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw that the light was good. God separated the light from the darkness. And God called the light day and the darkness called night. And there was evening and morning the first day. Okay, so you know the story. And then he says, the second day, he separated the firmaments that were above the earth and below. So he separated the waters, and he says that was the second day. And look now what happens on the third day. Verse 11, he says, God says, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind. Come on, say according to its kind. And on the earth, and it was so, and the earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So what happens here? On the third day, God puts in a system. God puts in a system. He spoke to the vegetation and he says, bring forth according to your kind. All right, so there's a bringing forth according to its kind. Every seed or everything having its seed inside of them. Here comes a system. God comes and he puts in a system. He didn't just create a tree without creating a system to maintain that what he has created. Are you following? So God created a tree, but with that he creates a system to maintain that what he creates. So God comes. Let's look quickly at Exodus 25. God speaks to Moses about the tabernacle. There's a pattern. There's a system. Exodus 25:40, he says, see that you make them after the pattern for them, which is being shown to you on the mountain. So God shows him a specific pattern of the tabernacle. But what does the book of Hebrews says about the temple and the tabernacle? He says, that is only a copy and a resemblance of that which is in heaven. There was a seed, there's a pattern, there's a system, and he just showed him the blueprint, and he says, now according to its kind, you're going to establish on earth. Come on. You see the picture? Something in heaven, because he says, that was is in heaven, we need to manifest it on earth. So he says, the tabernacle, the copy in heaven, is now just a copy of that what is on earth, is a copy of heaven. So even the tabernacle has a pattern to follow. God showed Moses a specific pattern. We can say he gave him a seed and a system. And now it progressed. So he gave him the pattern. He says, build. Build. What are you building? Build. Exodus 39, 32 says, thus all the work of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting was finished. And the people of Israel did according to all the Lord had commanded Moses. So they did. Verse 42, according to all that the Lord had commanded Moses, so the people of Israel had done all the work. So they have done exactly as God told them, the pattern, the blueprint. But who has done it? Say again. The people. It takes people to build. Are you building with God? Come on. Are you building according to his seed and his pattern and that system that he has given us? Are you building according? Because it says that when they were done, God gave them a blueprint and a pattern. He gave them the seed and the system. He says, build exactly as I say. It took the people to build. And now when they've done exactly as God says, according to his system, what happens? Exodus 40, last chapter, verse 33 to 35, it says, and he erected the court around the tabernacle on the altar, set up the screen of the gate of the court. So Moses finished the work. Right, so now they've done according to what God says. He says he has finished the work. The tabernacle is there. What happens next? This. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting. The glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because of the cloud settled on it. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. When they've done according to the blueprint and all as God has commanded, doing it by the people, and they finished the work, God came with his glory and he fills it. God came. What do we say is glory? Remember, glory is the full expression of something. I've used it before where we have the flower and the bud. Not the bud, the bud of a flower. Okay? So the bud is a green hard ball. Although the flower is inside, it's not the fullness of the flower, is it? But when it gets time and that bud opens and the flower comes and the beautiful colors and things, that's the glory, the full expression of a thing. And so God fills the temple because it's now finished and the full expression of that comes. You are the temple of God. And God wants to bring his glory that the full expression of that can come. So glory means the kabot, the weight, but it says glory is the abundance, riches, splendor, dignity, a good reputation. So God has got something for you to fill you. That what you do in life, is your success sustainable? Because God created a seed and in that he put a system to maintain so that it can be successful. But is your success in life sustainable? For you to be sustainable, there has to be a system in place. There has to be. That's why it says, for every tree to flourish, it says that every tree flourish because of the seed in itself. The seed in itself. What is your grace? Or what is your gift? What's your talent? What is that what God calls you to do? Because he says according to the grace that he has given you, you should operate, you should function. You see, every business, every ministry, every family that's built off of somebody else's gift will never last. Hear what I'm saying? Everything that's built by somebody else's gift will go down. We cannot for this family in this church tell somebody else, say, hey, I want you to come in and help us build this church. Because if I come in and I help you build this church, when I leave, people leave with me. Why? Because why? Before I give the answer, think of it. Why will people leave with me? Because God ultimately designed the system. He says everything produces according to its kind. Come on. After the seed in itself. So if I start to do something, I produce after the seed that's in me. So if we get somebody else to come and help, it starts to produce after the seed in him. Leaving, you will go according to the seed that's been developed in you. You understand? That's why we need to be connected, planted, and family that we can produce after our own kind. But God has given you a place to say, ouch, or amen. Because it's not going to be sustainable. Come on. It's not going to be sustainable this because there's no system to maintain that seed that God has put on the inside of you. You need to have a sustainable system, and that begins with the seed that God has placed on the inside of you. Amen. That's why the devil never comes and attacks all the things around you. All the things he comes and he attacks you. Why? He tells you, hey, Yaku, you know, you can never do it. He tells you, hey, you're stupid. He tells you that you're just like your father or your mother. He tells you that, do you know what you look like when you do that? He attacks you. He attacks the way that you see yourself. Because when he can attack the way that you see yourself, he starts attacking everything else that you see. As a man sees and how he perceives, that's how he becomes. So he attacks the way that you perceive and see yourself, and then everything else that you see is distorted. I said to Cheryl, she was trying to clean her glasses. I said the trouble we get when we get older is now you take your glasses off to clean it, but you need the glasses to see. So how do you know when it's clean? Becomes a problem. Let me show you an example of how you see yourself. What happens in Joshua when they send out the spies? They come back with a report and say, we were as grasshoppers in their eyes, or in our own eyes, and so we were in their sight. Come on. Do you see that? The way you start seeing yourself influences the way you see everything. So we were as grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. Come on. Do you see that? You see, when you don't think you have it, you're gradually going to start convincing other people that you actually don't have it. And then what happens when they don't respect or when they don't follow or this or that? But it's not them, it's you. And you don't think that you've got it. You need to walk up to the devil and tell him this. I've got it. You're not going to tell me anymore. Tell me that I'm like this or I'm like that. Come on, say I've got it. I've got this. You need to know that you are seedful and that there's a seed inside of you. You see, because we can teach what we know, but we produce after our own kind. After that seed, come on. You are going to reproduce that what you are. You're going to reproduce that what you are. So we need a system to maintain things. That's what we need. You're still following? A hunger, getting the right appetite, hunger creates that system. Just because an apple tree is an apple tree doesn't make or mean that it's productive. You can be an apple tree, but it doesn't mean that you are productive. It can have the seed, but until that seed is invested and all in, it's never gonna be reaching its potential. You need to be all in. Not only does God use the seed to reproduce, come on, he uses the leaves and everything that's connected to the tree to feed that what's feeding you. Because this is how the leaves are, and this, now I'm preaching quickly just to my wife. The leaves are not falling to work on your nerves and for you to use the blower and rake it up and okay. Her mom and dad wanted to give her a little trophy with a blower on for her birthday because she loves a blower. Okay, let's get back to the message. That's if I want to treat her, I just buy a new blower. You see, the leaves are not falling from the tree to mess you up or to work on your nerves or to give you something to rake. You know, when you rake up the leaves, what you're actually doing is you are actually messing up the system. Think about it. When you take the leaves, you're messing up the system. Because the leaves, everything is designed in such a way that because the tree, what happens? That the tree is planted, it comes from the seed. The tree grows. Now the tree takes from the ground to be nourished and to be able to grow and to have fruit and have its leaves. Now when it drops its leaves, it's giving back to the very thing that feeds it. Do I need to say it slow? Is that a yes or a no? Yeah, your English people catch it quickly. It gives back because if it's not giving back to the ground, it means that there's a deficit. The ground is becoming depleted. Because the tree feeds from it, it gets a benefit from the ground, taking all the nutrients, but if it never gives back, it becomes depleted. Come on. So God created one time in the beginning, but then he put a system in place so that it can maintain. The system took care of everything else. Every other time, it's the system. Trees grow, they get their nourishment from the ground, it gives the leaves, it falls down, it becomes compost, it gives nourishment back to the ground from where it comes from so that it can do the cycle. Come on. Systems survive when you feed what's feeding you. Systems survive when you feed what's feeding you. You get that? Let's do this. Marriages survive when you feed what's feeding you. Your marriage starts to fall apart when you don't feed what's feeding you. Ministry survive when you feed that what's feeding you. My question is, in other words, this: do you serve and give back to the house that feeds you? Let me say that again. Do you serve and give back to the house? Because you need to feed on that what feeds you. You feed, you give to that what you receive from. So if you eat here, do you give back? Because there's a system, and to maintain the system, you have to have that process. You have to feed on that what is feeding you. You see, most of us, sometimes we don't feed on what's feeding us. We feed where we are trying to go. We feed there. We don't feed where we are planted and where we are rooted. You have to be planted in order to bear fruit. Let me do a marriage 101 quickly. We often feed the woman or the man we wish we had. Isn't it? All right? This is for the married couples. If you're not married, listen carefully. If she's feeding you, you've got to feed her. I'm talking about investing yourself. That's what you need to do. You need to invest. Once you have a person investing all of themselves and the other one is not investing back into that person, what do we have? A depletion. You start depriving it from the nutrients. If you do not invest, it becomes depleted. You have to invest yourself. And here's the problem. Let me talk to the men. Men, we don't invest ourselves, isn't it? We invest our stuff. Don't invest your stuff. What do I say? If there's a problem and I want to fix her, I buy her stuff. Isn't it? You buy her stuff to fix the problem. That's our problem. And that brings just frustration in the lives of the woman, because they don't want the stuff, they want you. Come on. They're gonna say, no, I'd want the stuff, but they want the stuff and you. Okay. They want the stuff and you. But this is the thing, we're trying to fix it with stuff. They want you because what? They want you to be present. They want you to be invested. They want you to, they're hungry, because we're speaking about having the right, they're hungry for you. Anything you don't give yourself to will die from the lack of investment. You have to give yourself to something because they're hungry for you. They want you to be present. I can't just send gifts and all that, but I'm never home. They want you. They want that. That's also what's wrong with most churches, isn't it? Pastors like to preach, but they're not always invested fully into the church. And they wonder why the church is not pregnant. It's because they're not investing. They're not pushing. They're not giving birth. They're not helping. They're not creating. You have to invest yourself. Amen? You have to look at the things that feed you. In your life, look at the things that you feed, because you're giving your talent. You're feeding somewhere. Or let's call it poor. You pour somewhere. Look at the things that you feed that's not feeding you. Where are you pouring? Take your 24 hours in a day and see where you spend your time. Where are you feeding? Where are you pouring? And how much of those places are feeding back? Because you have to feed that feeds you. Are you following me? Is it clear? You see, you're giving of yourself so many times to things that's not worthy of you, while sometimes we neglect the things that's actually feeding you. And now while you neglect that, you're becoming angry, because what happens is you become depleted. That's why you need to feed what's feeding you. We can lift the music a little bit. Almost done. What feeds you? What feeds you? Because the system that God put into place is this: reciprocity. Reciprocity. So let me explain. It's an exchange. It's a trade-off. There's interchange. Come, Dandre. We're going to play ball. This is reciprocity. I throw the ball at him. He throws the ball back. I throw the ball at him. Throws the ball back. Throw the ball at him. That's reciprocity. Throws the ball back. And we're having so much fun, isn't it? As long as he throws the ball back. You know? So I throw the ball at him. That's reciprocity. He throws it back. We don't need another ball, is it? We don't have to pray for another ball. As long as he throws the ball back, we don't need for anything else, is it? Now you can keep it. It's Kylo's. You have to give it back to him. The only time when there's a need is when he doesn't throw the ball back. When he keeps it. You have to feed that. What's feeding you, you have to give and get back. So the only time is when he doesn't throw it back. Now I have a need because there's no reciprocity. There's no exchange taking place. Let me give you a biblical example. Let me tie that to our offering and our tithes and our offering and our first fruits. Luke 6:38 says what? Give. What does it say? Okay. Give and it will be given to you. Reciprocity. There's a giving and a receiving. Give and it will be given back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Reciprocity. That's what God wants to do. But there must be a hunger. Whatever you feed will feed you back. In other words, you have certain gifts. If Vant plays a little bit of piano, but he cannot play like me. Why? Because I feed my talent. I've pushed and I've invested into that. So the only difference is he's not feeding his talent yet, the way that I fed my talent. So because I was feeding, it's feeding me back. I can draw from that because I've fed it. Does it make sense? God gave you gifts. When you feed your grace, your gift, your talent, it will start feeding you back. Come on. Proverbs 18:16 says, a man's gifts make room for him and brings him before the great. Your gift makes room for that. What you feed will feed you back. But God has called you. So are you faithful? Being hungry means that you are feeding on that what feeds you. Therefore, we need to get the right appetite and start feeding the thing that feeds us. This is about family. This is about the church. When we feed and we get hungry for God, you get something back. You're feeding on Him. He gives more of Himself to you. You feed on Him. He comes with more glory. You're doing according to the seed that's inside of you. The temple, He comes and fills it with His glory. But you have to feed. And we've been wasting our time feeding where we're not getting anything back. God says there's a system. Reciprocity. You have to become fully invested in what God wants to do. Come on, so getting the right appetite means to become fully invested in Him. And as you feed that, it will start feeding you back. Does it make sense? I hope it stirs your heart this morning and does something in you. That God created a system. And we need to follow that. And then it will work. It will make room for you. When you start doing this principle and you're hungry, your gift will make room for you. And it says it brings you into the presence of the great. Are you feeding at the right place? Are you feeding the right things? Do you have a desire and an appetite for the right things, for the things that feeds you so that it can feed back? Amen. Let's pray together. Father, this morning we come and we say, Lord, thank you that you are the Lord of all. You are our master. You are our king. And we come to exalt you. And Lord, I declare this, that you've said in Luke, give and it will be given to you. Father, this morning I declare over all of us, a good measure pressed down, shaken together, running over. You say, according to the measure we use, it will be measured back to us. So Father, I declare that there will never be a lack, even in our gifts, even in the way that we give back, in the seed, the potential, that which you've placed inside of us, Father. We will work with that. We will come and discover and align ourselves. God has placed something in you. The seed is in you. And I hope that this morning you come and say, Lord, what am I doing? That you will go home and that you say, Father, where am I wasting my time feeding the things that doesn't feed back? And where do I need to become hungry and desire the right appetite, the right things, so that the measure that gives back will be coming greater? Give and it will be given, that reciprocity, that it will activate, that there will be a godly exchange in our lives. That there will be a trade-off. You see, God has got so much more for you. And often, we're in a limitation because of the way we are thinking, our minds. And therefore, He says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So, Father, this morning, transform our minds. Transform our hearts. Transform our ways so that we can see your fullness. We bless you. We honor you. And Father, even in our giving, as we bring our first fruits to honor you, we declare everything comes from your hand. We come to honor you. We follow your word. We follow your principles. And therefore, God is not a man that he can lie. He said in the book of Galatians, whatever you sow, you will reap. So Father, we say thank you, Lord, that we can be faithful and that in that you are faithful to us as well. Bringing forth a harvest, running over, shaken together. And a good measure. I declare it over us and we receive it. And we all say in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to know more about who we are and what we do, go visit our website at bechurch.co.za. You're formed to function. Let's be church.